The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus entered a village where a woman whose name was Martha welcomed him. She had a sister named Mary who sat beside the Lord at his feet, listening him to speak. Martha, burdened with much serving, came to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me by myself to do the serving? Tell her to help me." The Lord said to her in reply, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and worried about many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her." The Gospel of the Lord. Very well-known, and I would dare say delightful, brief story in the Gospel, the story of Martha and Mary, which has been talked about, written about, preached, theologized any number of times throughout history, and I hope my not-so-long, relatively brief homily today can do justice to the history of theology and preaching that has come upon this particular passage. And yet, every now and again, I'm struck by some people's interpretation, or at least they notice and they wonder, was Jesus actually chiding Martha? Because after all, I mean, she was the hostess, Jesus was their guest, someone needed to prepare the meal. And it strikes me that, you know, Jesus doesn't necessarily chide Martha for doing the work, nor does he say she shouldn't be doing it. He makes the distinction of Mary choosing the better half, but not necessarily that Martha and her work was not good. And in some places in the scripture, we see that distinction that is made where something is good, but then something else is also considered better. And one passage, it struck me a few days ago, I was looking through the book of Sirach, which we have in the Old Testament, it's the last of the wisdom books of the Bible. And it is right before the book of the prophet Isaiah, who was the first of the prophets. And let me just quote a few passages, like a miniature litany here, where the author speaks of certain things as good, but then there's also the step beyond that, which he, in his wisdom, would consider better. He writes in chapter 40, "Wealth or wages can make life sweet, but better than either is finding a treasure. A child or a city will preserve one's name, but better than either, attaining wisdom. The flute and the harp offer sweet melody, but better than either is a voice that is true. Charm and beauty delight the eye, but better than either, the flowers of the field. A friend, a neighbor are timely guides, but better than either, a prudent spouse. A brother, a helper for times of stress, but better than either, charity that rescues. Gold and silver make one's way secure, but better than either is sound judgment. Wealth and vigor build up confidence, but better than either is fear of the Lord." So he's speaking of things that are very good, and not necessarily things to be neglected, but reminds us in his wisdom always to have our eyes on what is better, to always strive beyond the good. For example, people will often say to me, especially when it comes to practices within the church, for example, some who would say, "Well, Father, I don't think it's necessary to go to Mass on Sunday to be a good person." But sometimes we are reminded that the object of Christianity is not to be good, but to be holy. God made us good, and we are called to be holy. Better than that is to be holy. And I think that perhaps might be at play in the dynamic we see between Jesus and Martha and Mary. It is good that Martha was showing hospitality. It's a hospitality we see in today's first reading. Abraham showed hospitality to the three men who manifested the presence of God, and in return for that hospitality, they make the prophecy that by this time next year, your wife will have a son. So that hospitality is very good, but better is what Mary chose, being attentive to the presence and the words of Christ. And yes, Jesus acknowledges, Martha, Martha, you are worried and concerned about many things. And perhaps that is the most relatable thing in today's gospel. We live in a world in which there are many, many concerns. And they aren't necessarily bad. Raising a family, earning a living. In the last few weeks, we've certainly seen many things in our world, in our nation, that would lend to concern. We hear of stories of course, we continue to mourn the five policemen in Dallas, that were killed a couple of weeks ago, and others who are victimized by violence or injustice. We, of course, have an election that's on everyone's mind, and as with always, voters, including Catholics, sometimes struggle to make the right choice in exercising that responsibility. We continue to hear of violence in the Middle East against our brother Christians at the hands of the Islamic State. We hear of violence and death in Nice, in Paris, over the last week, and we keep in our prayers those innocents who were killed, men, women, and children, including that father and son from Texas. We hear of military coups, or at least attempts of them, in Turkey. There's a great deal that would give us cause to be anxious and worried about many things. But Jesus calls us not to be unworried about them, because sometimes it's a righteous worry. It leads us to prayer. It leads us to our intentions. It leads us to a concern for our brothers and sisters, and hopefully a gratitude for the many gifts that God gives us. But better than all is always remembering to keep that focus on Christ and all that we do as his followers. In the midst of being worried and anxious, in the midst of continuing and working on the regular day-to-day tasks of our lives. Never lose sight, not just of what is good, but what is better. And that is what we do here when we come to celebrate the Eucharist on Sunday. We take that time in our busy, busy lives to come and spend time with our Lord to receive his sacraments. But every now and again, all of us, including me, sometimes we're anxious. How long is this hour going to be? What do we have that follows after Mass is over? Some even may succumb to it, and for various reasons. Some may be justified, others may, because they're worried and anxious, leave early after communion instead of the meditative period and the time of prayer after Mass. I make no judgments, but it's something you see in every parish. Sometimes you even see the priest. How many here have ever seen the priest? I got it good here. I got a clock right across that way over there. But I'll tell you, for a very good reason, I now have a pocket watch. It's a little more effort to grab the watch and actually look at the time when you're celebrating the Mass. There are things that make all of us sometimes anxious, even in the course of the liturgy. Sometimes in going to communion, we'll be distracted. Our children or a friend we might see, or who knows. And sometimes with people like that, and in our procession to the altar for the Eucharist, I often tell them, how do we focus on Christ? Keep our eyes focused on the image of Jesus on the cross. Keep our eyes focused on the reason that we're here. And not just here in Mass, in our everyday lives at home, taking that time out, just maybe a little bit of time, to slow down, to stop. Perhaps look at the crucifix in your home or an image of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Of course, when one has families with children, that might be easier said than done. I mean, many of us all know parenthood is not a contemplative vocation, but teaching our children to take that time, to take that moment, to be quiet, to pray together in the midst of the everyday life of a family. Jesus is saying, not that our everyday lives and tasks are bad, but there is something that is better. And we have in the example of today's gospel a call in the midst of our worrisome world and our everyday lives, sitting in the midst of a celebration of the Mass, coming to worship God in the Eucharist. Let us keep our focus on Christ, and perhaps take that time out of each day just to pause, slow down, pray, And we've got a great, ingenious device to help us do that, which actually could help us grow in ways that we don't realize. It's called an iPhone. Now, I know we all ask you to turn off your iPhones. I don't want the musician to suddenly pass out on me here. We ask the iPhones to be turned off. But when you think about it, when you're sitting at home, or say you're spending some time in a holy hour before the Blessed Sacrament, some who come here to pray in the church, you set the timer, and you lose yourself in the timelessness, where you're not looking at the watch, wondering how much time you have left. The timer will tell you when that time is done. That's easier said than done. Trust me, folks, I've tried it. 15 minutes can seem like 2 hours when you're not the one keeping the time, but something else is. And yet, Jesus asks us to do that. We are worried and concerned about many things, and only one thing is important. We're not to neglect the tasks that we have of hospitality, raising a family, earning a living. But let us not lose sight of what Jesus shows us in Mary, the better part. Let us not deprive ourselves of it. But in the midst of our busy, busy schedules, our worrisome, worrisome world, that we take time to stop and to listen. Spend that time, even if it's just 5 minutes, with our Lord. And there is where we see the wisdom that is expressed in such books as Sirach, the holiness and the hospitality of Abraham, and the better part chosen by Mary in today's gospel. Let us ask God to bless the work that we do. But in addition, let us bless our day by always spending some time in attendance, in the presence of Jesus Christ our Lord.